Sid Phillips reporting. Launch of shuttle has been delayed due to adverse weather conditions at the launch site. Tomorrow's forecast, sunny. Sweet dreams. Welcome in to the Bro 4 Squad podcast, where we are just a bunch of bros drinking beer, talking movies. This is episode 222, and we're wearing tutus. I'm your host, the Mayor Jeff Hornacek. Thank you for joining us for the movie discussion tonight. Before we get going, let's dive into the lab and meet my co-host, the mad scientist, Brian Banner. Banner, what is a more authentic jungle experience? Being sucked into the board game Jumanji or the dinner we had for your daughter's birthday last weekend at the Rainforest Cafe?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably the Rainforest Cafe, let's be honest. Because like those pop up anywhere.
There was less Kirsten Dunst at your daughter's birthday, but not no Kirsten Dunst.
Right. Right. There was a little Kirsten.
A slight amount of Kirsten Dunst, yeah. She showed up for appetizers, then had to leave.
Yeah. Had a prior engagement.
Yeah, it's weird. She double booked herself, but whatever. Whatever, Kirsten. All right, here on the Bro 4 Squad podcast, we start every episode off with the most important thing in any bro's life, and that is chest day. And it is coming up to the end of March Madness. As we're actually recording this, the final four is a few days away. And on the Bro 4 Squad podcast, every year since the start of this podcast, we have put together some bracket movie-centric and done a movie madness tournament. Banner, why don't you tell the people what we did this year? And while you describe that, they can click on the bracket in the description of this episode at the very top. So what do we do for our Movie Madness Tournament 2024? So what is that noise? My God.
My fault. I was getting a popsicle.
Oh, that's important, actually.
Yeah. Here, come get it. All right. So this is a tournament that we've done every year, usually something to do with movies or comic books. Just something ridiculous. So this year we are doing awful movie madness. We've done in the past comic book movie madness, which is actually 64 teams, and that was a nightmare. We'll never do it again. Never.
I think it was harder to organize than the actual NCAA basketball tournament.
It really was.
We had to book like hotels.
Yeah, it was awful. The logistics of everything, and then that storm that came through messed everything.
Yeah. So this year, like Brian said, we're doing awful comic book movie madness tournament. And if you click the bracket, you'll see we put together what we deemed as the 8 worst or most questionable comic book movies ever made. And this is a tournament of futility. So it's been very counterintuitive because the movies advancing to the next round are those that the fans or we have deemed the worst of the two movies. So Brian, by winning, quote unquote, or advancing, you are actually the loser.
Yeah, this is the toilet bowl. If you win this tournament, you are the worst movie.
Yeah. If you win, you've lost. And yeah, if you lost, you win.
So to recap, Howard the Duck, Steel, Jonah Hex, Catwoman, congratulations. You guys have already won by losing.
Yeah, you want to be sitting at home. So as we enter tonight, we will begin with the final four. The four movies remaining, trying to see which is the worst comic book movie decision ever made. We have Madam Web versus Morbius, which is interesting because the same two guys wrote both of those. And then the other side of the bracket, we have Blue Beetle taking on Elektra. So Brian, first, we put all these up to a fan vote, by the way. So fans on our YouTube channel, thank you guys for coming out and participating. You have decided both of these matchups and the finals. And Brian, between Madam Web and Morbius, I was shocked at how big of a bloodbath this was. But with over 60 votes, Madam Web emerges, or I guess advances by losing or being the worst, getting 87% of the vote to Morbius's.
Wow. 13.
Now, how much of this do you think is recency bias? How much of this do you think is, yeah, Madam Web is just that bad?
See, I don't know, because Morbius really came out to play, because right around the time that we started this tournament, Morbius came out on Disney Plus. So it was like, hey, we're gonna re-release ourselves again to try and get more people to vote for us. And Morbius wasn't exactly like decades ago. It was like, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, watching that movie ages you as a person, so it's a little bit hard for me to recollect exactly how long ago it was. I have not seen Madame Web. I've seen Morbius. But I did watch a clip on YouTube. It was the worst lines of dialogue from Madame Web. And I'm going to be honest. I know this movie is dog shit, even though I haven't seen it, just from what I've heard and some of the clips I've seen. But the quote, if you had to put together a pound for pound of worst quotes, I don't know if it beats Morbius in a landslide in that regard. Like, I was expecting the quotes to be worse and dumber. And they're poorly acted, but it's not as cringe as I thought it would be.
I don't know, man. I think I've seen enough Madame Web to say, yeah, I think that this is a landslide. Look, Morbius at least was fun to look at visually. And as it was pointed out in our Broskers, there wasn't enough Sydney Sweeney tits in Madame Web. So that just goes against it.
Briefly, I do just want to say, I don't like how the actors in Madame Web, and I know they think that this is what fans want, but how they've kind of been throwing the film under the bus after the fact. Like, I'm sure the actors themselves feel like, oh, we have to steer into the skid, make jokes about it, and act like we're not ashamed to say, yeah, it was a mistake. But I also think there's a middle ground where you cannot, like, let's not sit here and act like you're completely innocent in its futility, right? In its sucking. I know you didn't write it or direct it, but you're there on set every day. If you have creative input, they'll listen. And you agreed to do it and took a huge paycheck. So I think it's kind of fucked up that at the end of the day, now you're the one that gets to get off scot-free because you're allowed to publicly make jokes about it. And everyone else that did it, sans maybe the director, has to just kind of stand here and take your pop shots.
I couldn't agree more.
I think Sydney Sweeney, who hosted SNL, opened up her monologue. And I like Sydney Sweeney. I think her PR people are telling her to do this because Dakota Johnson's done the same. But she opened up her monologue with, "Hi, I'm Sydney Sweeney. You most certainly did not see me in Madame Web," because obviously no one went to go see it.
Right, because nobody went to see it.
Yeah. Right. But
I get it. It's not funny, but I get it.
Right, it's a low blow. The movie's not good. Let's not kick people while it's down. And I don't want to sound like I'm not a Madame Web apologist. I just think when actors do that publicly, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. The same thing happened when Cats came out. Remember, like, James Corden at the Oscars was making fun of the visual effects. And now we know James Corden's a piece of shit, so that has an extra wrinkle to it. But time, I was like, this is gross.
Right. Yeah, not surprised there. So, Madame Web, moving on.
Yeah, Madame Web will advance to the championship. And who will it face? Blue Beetle or Elektra? Before we get into the score of this one, I've seen Elektra, but not Blue Beetle. Brian, are you the reverse here?
I have seen them both, but I haven't seen Elektra since it came out. I literally think I've seen it one time in my life.
But
I have seen Blue Beetle recently.
Okay, what were your thoughts on Blue Beetle?
It was extremely unnecessary. That's what I thought. I mean, hold on.
Extremely unnecessary.
Yeah, like I didn't understand the point of bringing in this super obscure character out of the woodwork for DC. Like, is he gonna save everything? It was shocking. Again, with all of these superhero movies, visually, again, it was really cool. I liked it. Third act got a little weird. George Lopez was actually really funny. So I wouldn't be surprised if Blue Beetle takes a stand here and does not move on. What do we got?
Well, Blue Beetle will not move on, so you'll get your wish. It loses to Elektra by a vote of 67% to 33%.
Okay,
I saw Elektra
tighter.
I saw Elektra for the first time in my life about 2 months ago, and it's basically plotless, and who knows? It's a very nebulous sequel or prequel to the Ben Affleck Daredevil. It's really hard to tell.
What was that? Was it a sequel or was it a prequel?
Exactly. The creators don't know.
Why can't it be both, guys?
I think there was someone in the writer's room who's like, what if we were the first people to ever make it both? So it takes place before and after without flashbacks. He's like, bingo. I didn't hate Elektra. The villains are very, like, meh, really unmotivating. And like I said, it's basically plotless, but it's relatively grounded. Like, the plot is essentially Elektra is an assassin. She gets hired to basically kill someone who she ends up she's at this safe house waiting for her next mission. She befriends her neighbor, and then she ends up getting the call that that's the person she has to kill. And so it's like her inner struggle with, does she kill this guy and his daughter because she's an assassin, or because she's come to befriend them and doesn't see them as adversarial or bad people, does she do the right thing and not kill them? And then complications ensue. On paper, that sounds like a pretty grounded plot that you'd be like, yeah. How did they fuck that up so bad?
Yeah, I'm in. Where's that movie?
Right.
I've never seen that movie before.
And Jennifer Garner, man, like, she does what she can in this thing. I mean, she always gives a good performance, or at least an earnest performance. And she's hustling. She's running out every ground ball.
I think that's going to be the difference in Madam Web and Elektra in the finals. Is, yeah. I think it's going to come down to the acting, where Jennifer Garner actually tries. And as we said earlier, the actresses in Madam Web unfortunately came out and bashed the movie afterwards. Like, again, you're culpable at some point.
Exactly. Well, let's not bury the lead any longer. So moving on to the finals, we have Madam Web versus Elektra. The fans voted on this one. And once again, Madam Web is just that team that you don't want to run into in the tournament, because regardless of the matchup, they're just going scorched earth on people. They win this one, not in as big of a landslide as their matchup against Morbius, but in a pretty big blowout. 64% of the vote says Madam Web is the worst movie to Elektra's 36. And I have to ask, if we did this tournament, this kind of ties back into the recency bias, if we did this tournament again in a year, would it have the same result with Madam Web as the winner? And unless something really bad comes out of the interim, Brian, I have to think so, because I know the recency bias is there, but like you said, Madam Web just could not get out of its own way with how bad it is, regardless of when it came out.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly all the years of these movies, but for the most part, the closer we get to like present time, the more, with I guess the exception of Elektra, the more we don't need these anymore, right?
Yeah, and we did. I don't know if the fans use this criteria, but part of the criteria that we were voting on was, why did we green light this project? And I think Madam Web, I mean, I said Howard the Duck was the poster child for that. Maybe Jonah Hex, but just because of its obscurity. But Madam Web, it's like, in the Spider-Man comics, she is like a background character. Like, she appears a few times in an arc, but to give her her own movie and then try and put it Spider-Verse adjacent, it's again, like, why are we...
Look, is it fair to say now that Spider-Man has gotten more ridiculous than X-Men as far as, like, timelines and things like that?
I don't know. It's tough because Spider-Man hasn't done... They've done the multiverse thing, but they haven't done the time travel thing yet, which X-Men did. And I thought it fixed things in Days of Future Past, but then they just fucked it all up again. The thing with Spider-Man, though, is they... So I had read a few different things about Madam Web originally having a post-credit scene. I don't know if we'll ever know what it was supposed to be, but Sony scrapped it or deleted it from cuts of the film if they did shoot it, because even they, I think, reached a point where they were like, "What? Where are we trying to have this movie take place? Like, what? Who's the Spider-Man in this universe? And, like, what other Sony-verse movies are involved with it?" And they couldn't figure it out, so they were like, "Let's just fucking not even try. We have no idea what we're doing.
Let's reboot it. Let's do it again. We'll run it back."
Which I actually kind of respect, that someone in the room was like, "Guys, we can't include that at the end. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense." Because the Morbius post-credit scene, kind of, they got a lot of shit for that too. Because even Michael Keaton's like, "Yeah, dude, I don't know what that is."
And like, you can't blame Michael Keaton for that either.
Hell, he's like, no.
Like,
what do you think they paid him for that voiceover? $50K?
At least.
I mean, you'll say no to that.
Yeah. Hell, I wonder if he had to because of Sony's deal with the MCU. He may have like been forced to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know what that deal consists of.
No, I do know typically though, and again, I doubt he would throw too much of a fit if they're like, dude, it'll take 45 minutes, just come on in. But a lot of times these studios, even if they have the actors contractually obligated, they try not to. Like if someone really doesn't want to do something, just like any job, you'd be like, it's probably best if you just don't come in and do it. Like, I don't want my waiter at wherever the fuck I'm at, Texas Roadhouse, being a guy that like really doesn't want to be there and he's like spitting into my food. Dylan.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise you get a Madam Web situation.
There you go. You get Madam Webs in your food. You know what I mean?
Mm, yummy.
All right, Brian. Madam Web, the champion of comic movie of awful comic movie madness in 2024.
Is that final, a question mark? Champion? Yeah.
Champion? Do we give them a trophy?
Probably. I mean, at this point, like they owe us a participation award, right?
Yeah. They should give the organizers of the tournament an award.
Yeah.
Put medals over our necks. Final thoughts on this tournament. This was, again, a weird one because we did it. Essentially, it was counterintuitive, right? Like the loser advances. I got to say, the real fun part of this was coming up with the field. Like just thinking of all these movies that were based on comic book IP. And again, we've gotten so deep over the years into these some characters of obscurity that it's like, wow, why? When you think about all the work and money that goes behind making a movie, these were some that we were like, Jesus Christ, why did that ever happen? Or how did that ever happen?
This is the second worst tournament that we've ever done. I hated this one. We had to think and like dig through all these crappy movies and like all just revisiting some of these. It just wasn't fun at all.
I'm trying to think which one I liked the best that I saw. It's weird. I didn't really hate any of these, man. I kind of had fun with Steel. Jonah Hex had a lot of potential.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe it's like recency biased, but like Blue Beetle's probably my favorite out of this.
Wow.
Yeah. But I think it's just recency bias. I haven't seen Steel. It's been a long time since I've seen Elektra.
I think
I just remember Howard the Duck being ridiculous, so
yeah,
it is what it is.
Cycly saw it, and he said that in the beginning, Howard the Duck is looking at duck pornography.
That's
which
right.
I guess that's your answer. That's how you get the movie greenlit. That's what you leave your studio pitch with. It's like, look, I have a lunch to get to, so I won't waste anyone's time. There's duck pornography in this. Okay? And we got the chick from Back to the Future. Now, I do need $85 million. We will take a check. If there's any questions, you can page my secretary.
Have your people call my people.
I do think we had talked about this before. As the reward for Madam Web winning this tournament, I think it's been written in the stars that we need to do a movie commentary on it.
Yes, unfortunately. I'm not paying for it, though. I'm just telling you.
That's fair. You can expense it from the pod budget. Although, like Geiger said, when we bought our Batman and Robin DVDs, we might get a call from Capital One being like, hey, is everything okay at home? We saw you just rented Madam Web on Amazon Prime. To make sure things are good. You're not like on suicide watch. All right. Another movie madness in the books, huh? Moving on to our protein shake. Second part of our show. We go around and talk about what's in our cup, also known as what have we watched lately. I have four things I think I'll talk about. I don't think we shared anything this week, which is actually a rarity.
That is a rarity.
Yeah, even unplanned. Normally it just happens organically. But Brian, what's in your cup? What's something you've seen recently?
I've got two things here that I'm gonna talk about today. Been kind of busy, so haven't got a whole lot watched, but I'm going to start with this one, To Catch a Killer. Believe it was a Hulu original. Maybe not. But it's got Shailene Woodley and Ben Mendelsohn in it.
This looked intense.
Dude, it was.
Is this based on
really
the true
fucking
story?
Good. I don't know. I think it's.
You know what? So. I was thinking of the Keira Knightley one about the Boston Strangler.
No. That one I'm like 99% sure is based on.
Okay, I did see the trailer for this though.
Yeah, Really good. So basically, you got Shailene Woodley is like a beat cop in Baltimore, and Ben Mendelsohn is an FBI agent, and Shailene Woodley ends up becoming the liaison between the Baltimore Police Department and the FBI on a case. And the reason that she gets picked is very interesting and intriguing. And like the last 15, 20 minutes, you're on for a fucking wild ride.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I highly recommend this. It is not for the faint of heart. I will say that. It is very intense, but really good. And you guys know I don't like very intense movies that much, but A plus.
What
Ben Mendelsohn
is...
at times is he's got this weird accent, almost like he's trying to. He almost reminded me of Heath Ledger as the Joker, kind of like smacking his lips a little bit. At times it was a little distracting, I will say that. But is aside from that, everything was great.
Is he like chewing the scenery too much, a la like fucking Jared Leto in what's that movie? The Little Things?
No, not that much. I think it was just like a little something he tried to add to the character, and I personally didn't care for it. This feels just like a mystery crime novel.
How long is it?
Don't remember. Give me just a second.
Does it overstay its welcome?
Absolutely not. No, okay. it was the perfect length. It is 2 hours, 119 minutes.
Yeah, I can fuck with that.
Yeah. Really, really good. Loved it.
And it's called To Catch a Killer?
To Catch a Killer. I watched it on Hulu. I don't know if it was a Hulu original or if it came out somewhere.
Have you seen now Hulu is integrated into Disney Plus?
I have.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, we knew it was coming.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother podcast. But
yeah, that's true.
We've been saying it for years. Literally, I think we said it like 7 years ago. But anyway.
To Catch a Killer.
Catch a Killer. Highly recommend. Crime Fidelity.
I'll check it out. All right. I watched a Netflix original movie called Damsel, starring Millie Bobby Brown. You seen trailers or anything for this?
Yeah, I'm not a big Millie Bobby Brown fan, to be honest with you.
Really? As a Stranger Things guy or not?
Yeah, not. The monsters and stuff would do it for me for that movie. She definitely doesn't move the needle, like, at all. I don't think she's that good of an actress.
Well, Brian, I got to say, after I watched this, it got a Bros Best Picture nomination at the Broscos next year. Now, it's early. It is April.
Get the fuck out of here.
It was the surprise movie. Surprise movie of the year for me. It could be eliminated, obviously, because we only get 5 nominees, and it's, you know, it has 8 months in the whole summer to fend off competition. But this thing, it does 2 things for me. Number one, visually, I was stunned at the work that Netflix was able to pull off with this. Like, the visual effects people, tip of the cap, let me buy you a fucking beer, because the dragon in this looks incredible. But I think more so than anything is I'm like apathetic, I feel like, about the what would you call like the name of these types of films, the genre? Is it like medieval? Is it like fantasy?
Yeah, mythical fantasy, I would say.
Okay. I'm definitely not one of those people who's like, that's for fucking nerds, because that's me. But I'm also not one of those people that like is like reading like tabletop manuals and stuff on like Dungeons and Dragons. If that's your shit, that's awesome. Nothing against that. It's just not what, you know, gets my balls hard or dick hard. What's an erection? How does that work again?
I don't know. I've never had hard balls.
Never had one either.
I've never experienced that.
But the concept of this movie is actually really, really interesting. I don't even want to spoil too much because the trailers for it will not do it justice. Like, if you think this is like, and the title I think is sort of like a play on like, we're not going to take the typical story of like damsel in distress. It's not that, but it's also not like, okay, damsel in distress, but she's also a bad bitch. Like the whole like conceit of how she quote gets in distress and then what she needs to do to get out of it is all very, very interesting and something I hadn't seen before. And maybe it's to the point where these are so few and far between that we end up thinking they're better than they really are. But Cyclone, I always say in 2024, we are starved for new ideas with movies and TV. So if you can if you can give us something we haven't seen before, I'm already pretty much sold. That's why we like M. Night Shyamalan so much. And that's what Damsel was for me. It's a little bit long. I think it's right about 2 hours as well. And it's a little slow getting in, but I think the slow burn is necessary. And I had a lot of fun with it.
Okay. Got Nick Robinson in it. Okay.
Yeah, Angela Bassett.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that plays her dad? He was in Black Widow. He's a really good actor.
Ray Winstone?
Yeah, Ray Winstone.
Yeah.
I feel like there's one more person in it, but I could be wrong. But if you're like a mythical, like fantasy head, you gotta fucking check this out. And even if you're not, I would be surprised if you hated it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you nominated it, so I feel obligated to.
Well, yeah, we do kind of need another bro to get their eyes on it, because if someone else watched it and is like, hey, dude, you're fucking high, I'll be like, number one, you're not wrong. Number two, fine, right. Delete it.
All right, I might check it out. Netflix, Damsel.
Yeah. All right, what else?
Give us another one, Horns.
I saw Dune Part 2 in theaters.
Okay.
The first Dune, I mean, I was like, yeah, there's some interesting ideas here. Looks pretty fucking cool. I love Denis Villeneuve. But it was just way too long and just super, super fucking dense. Like, I think this is the reason that I have never really latched on to Game of Thrones. It's like, I get, and this is my own fault, I'll fully admit it, but I get so goddamn confused when it's like the house of so-and-so, and it's like 18 different families vying for power, and I don't know who's related to who because they all fuck each other anyway, and like, I don't know what the relationships are. So like, I'm like, oh, were they backstabbing each other? I thought they were enemies this whole time. So
yeah, you've got like, what are those things where you have like the pins on the wall with the strings? That's the only way to follow like the family lines.
Yeah, to make it look like I'm investigating like a serial killer, like tracing him
right
all his locations. Dune Part 2, I'll say this, I gave it a 2.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and that was pretty much all based on visuals and the sound. I saw this in a Dolby Cinema in theaters. Have to see it on the most sick setup you can, because it feels like a fucking theme park ride. Now, that out of it, which I know was like part of the sell, so I'm not like saying judge Dune strictly on its plot and the acting, which I don't know, Timothy Chalamet, I'm not the biggest fan. Plot-wise, it's just doesn't really do much for me. Again, it's really dense, it's really convoluted to me, and I don't really like any of the characters, but visually and sound wise fucking blew my mind. I think it got nominated for best blockbuster film by Cycli at the Oscars, because that's what this is, right? It's a theater experience. Felt like a summer movie come early for me.
Ooh, okay. I mean, I think that helps it, right?
I think so. So again,
it can use all the help it can get.
Yeah, I think it did pretty well. Did it do pretty well at the box office?
I have no idea.
So Dune Part 2, not my cup of tea, but it's not a total turd either. All right, Brian, what else you got?
All right. I watched the 2024 remake of Roadhouse.
Ooh, I need to watch this.
Starring Jake Gyllenhaal, and obviously Conor McGregor is in it as well.
Really?
Jake.
So Gyllenhaal, no bros best picture, not fucking no bros best. This. Sorry, no bros best or no bros Broskers nomination for best action movie.
I mean, it's early. We can, I guess. How many do we have? 5 on there?
Definitely not. I'll check while you talk about it.
If we don't have 5 on there, go ahead and throw it on there, I suppose. Like, some of the fight scenes were weirdly shot and, like, CGI'd, which was kind of annoying. You really didn't get, like, that cool MMA fight between Connor and Jake that, like, we were kind of hoping we would get.
Yeah.
I'm going to spoil the shit out of this. I'm sorry, guys. Like, it's Roadhouse. All right. Like, if you haven't seen Roadhouse or don't know the plot to Roadhouse, go watch that. I think we did a commentary on it too.
Oh yeah, it's one of our better commentaries, I think.
Yeah, and then come back. No Sam Elliott-like character.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, on paper, again, this sounds really cool. They want to buy up this island off the Florida Keys, and they brought Jake Gyllenhaal in to clean up the place. His backstory is interesting enough, I suppose. Conor McGregor is just fucking annoying. Yeah, that's it.
You know, I was kind of hoping that they might even make this in the universe of the first Roadhouse, and like you could literally bring Sam Elliott back in some ways.
No, didn't do that.
That's disappointing. I'm still gonna watch it though. It was on my
acting. I mean, the acting was fine. I guess the main villain guy. I don't even know his fucking name.
McGregor's not even the main villain.
No, he's like.
Oh, there's like a business.
I mean,
main
he's
guy.
Like. Yes and no.
How much screen time does McGregor get?
See, how long is the movie? I mean, he's in it a solid amount. He's like the muscle that they bring in. It's right at 2 hours. And I would say he's in probably 40 minutes of it.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Right now, best action movie at the Broscars, and again, it's early, but it's a weak category. We have Lift, that Kevin Hart movie, where he like,
ugh.
Yeah. And my pick to win it, The Beekeeper with Jason Statham, and then just put Roadhouse on there. If
Roadhouse
Lift stays as a nomination, okay, yeah, I was gonna say if Lift stays on this by the time the Broscars happen, it has been a bad year.
Yeah, no, this is definitely better than that. And I mean, there was a cohesive story there as well, so that helped. It just, yeah, there's a lot of expectations, and you got big shoes to fill, and they didn't fill them. They did a good job of modernizing it, but just didn't quite hit the mark on execution.
Yeah, I saw it did pretty well for Amazon, so that's, I mean, I don't know if we'll get a sequel or what, but.
They weren't jamming, at least for me, they weren't jamming it down my throat that much.
No, I actually felt like it was kind of under-marketed, if I'm being honest. Like, if I had Roadhouse IP, I would have been fucking beer-bonging that shit to my subscribers.
Oh, for sure. I don't know if there was something weird that happened right before the release or what.
But. There was some controversy I saw, but can't exactly remember. Like, I think someone who signed on, I don't know if it was McCrory who directed it or Gyllenhaal, but they were told by Amazon that it would have a day and date, meaning it would be on Prime and in theaters. And Amazon, I think when they saw the cost to distribute it, they were like, yeah, fuck that. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's all I got.
All right, I'll just say one of these because I want to save the other one for when I think you or someone else watches that, because I know Cycly did, but I'd like to talk about it with somebody else. So I will end with a documentary on Max, which I actually watched on a plane this past weekend. It's called 38 at the Garden. This is the documentary about Lin's sanity.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, the Jeremy Lin story.
Dude, I love that we're getting these documentaries that, like, I remember vividly when they happened.
Yeah. Coolest thing about it, Brian, you'll love this. It's called 38 at the Garden, and it's 38 minutes.
Nuh-uh.
Exactly, yeah.
Finally, like, somebody did it. We love when shit like that happens. Geiger, yeah. That's like Geiger's dream come true.
Yeah. And if I'm honest, though, I'll put this in my letterbox review. I think it's a little short because the story of Lin's sanity, like, you could do an hour just of, like, him actually getting to the NBA. It's a pretty wild story in and of itself, like how big of an underdog story it is. But this one sort of intercuts between the night that he scored 38 at Madison Square Garden against Kobe Bryant and the LA Lakers with like his story getting up.
Dude, I remember watching that game.
It was insane, right? And Kobe before, may he rest in peace, but he was talking a lot of shit about Jeremy Lin. Like when reporters would ask, here's the thing, NBA players like scout their opponent so fucking much, especially Kobe Bryant. And he was acting to the media like he had no idea who Jeremy Lin was. I was like, dude, you probably know like the type of fucking deodorant this guy uses.
Yeah.
So don't sit here and act. Act like you don't know who Jeremy Lin is when you're about to play the Knicks. But it intercuts to the game highlights when he dropped 38 with, like, flashbacks to, like, how he got there. He was California Player of the Year in NorCal. Didn't have a single scholarship offer because he was a, you know, 5'11 or 6 foot Asian kid. Could have gone to MIT, but they didn't have athletic scholarships. So Harvard said, you can come here, but we'll only pay your books and room and board because they don't give athletic scholarships either. Goes to Harvard. The rest of the story is pretty crazy. Ends up sleeping on couches while he's on like 10-day NBA contracts.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's just a cool story. And like you said, having lived through Lin's sanity, it's really cool now. It makes me feel old, which we are, but it's really cool now to see the story like retold in the documentary format when we have like memories of it actually happening.
See, and that's the same thing. Like we talked about it last year with the Manti Te'o documentary and the Johnny Football documentary. Like these things, like we live them. It's crazy to go back and actually see everything chronologically and laid out in front of you and just really appreciate how fucking insane these stories are.
Yeah, it's wild. And to see people like giving interviews about it and like, yes, that is how it was. You're not sometimes they do overstate it, but a lot of times, like, or maybe just because the drama of sports, I'm like, dude, that kind of was how it is. Like Jeremy Lin, his whole story, a lot of it was like Asian Americans saying like, I had never seen anyone that looked like me play in the NBA, let alone have success. So they just like rode this wave, and every single one of them was like, dude, we know that like in 2-3 years he might be out of the league, but he made like $70 million. He signed like two decent contracts. And I didn't know this, but he actually won the NBA title in 2021 with the Raptors. So now he's an NBA champion.
Holy shit. I didn't know that. Good for him.
Yeah. He was Kyle Lowry's backup on that team. Played a lot.
That's like crazy. I had no idea he was still playing in the league.
Yeah. So like, if you look at his career, like, I don't think he made an all-star team, but made $75, $80 million. You're an NBA champion. Yeah. I'll fucking take that.
Yeah. I'll ride off into the wind with that. Thanks.
Exactly. And I'm sure, I mean, he seems pretty like well-read, even in the documentary, but I'm sure he didn't blow a lot of that money.
No. You would hope that anyway.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got for tonight. You got anything else?
You like that?
All right. That parrot brings us to the end of our show, our question and answer segment. Do you even lift, bruh? We ask a question that we discuss and ride off into the sunset with. Brian, the question today is the continuing countdown of what are the bros' top 100 movies of all time. The link to this countdown in the live Google Sheet, updated after every episode, is both on our website at bro4squad.com and in the description of this podcast. Brian, before we pick up the countdown tonight, as is tradition, why don't you explain to the listeners, whether they're new or old to the show, what this list is? Because a lot of top 100 movie countdowns are like a curation of the best film of all time. This is, I would say, much different and much more unique to the bros on this podcast.
Yes, this is the actual top 100 movie lists of all time.
The definitive.
No, these are our individual. There are movies on these lists that shouldn't be sniffing a top 100 list ever, because they're just frankly god awful movies, but they're in my top 100 because they're tied to something, an emotional time, or I specifically remember that theater event. Jeff has one. It was the first DVD he ever had. So these are our top 100 movies. This isn't how competently made a movie is. This is, do I like that movie more than that movie? I do. All right, let's move it up the list.
Perfectly.
And there are some movies that I never would have thought would be as high as they were, but you know, the list don't lie.
They don't lie. And you don't need to defend your list, like Brian said, other than the fact that the movie has a special place in your heart, or you just have an affinity for it, just because you fucking like it. Everyone else can fuck off and make their own list, you know?
There is actually a movie. We do a movie trivia game every day, and there is a movie that is just came on that trivia that is stupidly high on my list, and I am an unapologetic for it.
Ooh, interesting. All right, well, that's a great mystery. On the countdown, Brian, we are currently We're now actually at our top 40. Jesus. Yeah, this is getting fucking serious. We
begin... might have to start defending some of these soon.
Yeah, it's getting intense. The list picks up. Your number 40 movie of all time was the 2002 Sam Raimi directed Spider-Man. Mine was Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And again, showing you the how eclectic these lists are. Ronnie Cycli, who's the only other bro on the pod so far to bless you, to reach 40. His number 40 was a German film called Der Untergang, which is translates to downfall, about the downfall of Hitler. So we had that and Rogue One and Spider-Man. So Brian, what's your number 39, just ahead of Spider-Man from 2002?
Number 39. This is my favorite movie in this genre, World War Z. This is my favorite zombie movie, just the realistic of it, how the zombies are faster. They're not these slow moving dead things. I think the way that the some of the scenes were shot were super creepy and weird, but at the same time all very believable. I'm really disappointed that the sequels are kind of in development hell, but I love this movie. Brad Pitt, fantastic job.
Yeah, first off, to get Brad Pitt in your film, you have to have a little bit more going for you than just be a genre piece. He doesn't typically just take the paycheck. So that, like, right off the bat, lets you know that this has something special about it. A lot of other zombie movies don't have. I also think in one of the reasons I love zombie movies is I'm always so intrigued with how the zombie outbreak started in the film. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, the different ways that, like, creatives in the genre are go about, like, curing it or stopping it.
Mm-hmm. And fastly it spreads or how it spreads.
Yes.
The whole thing's fascinating.
It's just so conceptually interesting to me. And I won't spoil anything if no one has seen World War Z, but the way that they figure out how to protect themselves from the zombies in this is very interesting. I just think it was a really cool idea.
Yep, I agree. It's also a book if you're interested.
Brent Berry on the pod, I think, has read the book maybe more than once. And he said that, correct me if I'm wrong or if you know this, the book... Or like the movie ends like not halfway through the book, but like almost at like the crescendo, like it's just about to like peak basically.
Yeah, I think it was like basically at the end of the second act was when the movie actually ends.
Which I gotta see how long the book is, because the movie is like paced pretty well, and it's, if I remember, it's like 2 hours 10 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty long. I don't remember exactly how long it is, but. It's not one of your quick zombie horror movies, you know, typical of the genre.
Yeah, it's about 2 hours.
There's a lot more meat on the bone.
For sure. I got to go back and revisit this because it's been a while. I do remember liking it. It's not in my top 100, but I'm a big zombie fan, and I was a fan of this one.
And if you're not a fan of zombie movies, I think this is still a good movie for you to go see.
Yeah, it's intense.
It is.
In all the good ways.
All right, Horns, 39 for you.
All right, my number 39 led the pot off with a quote from this one. Very much like World War Z, this film. I have a feeling this will be coming up in a few bros' lists. I don't know if it'll be coming up in yours, but I think maybe Cycli's. And that is the original Toy Story, which I think we all have fond memories of. I remember this being the first movie that I ever saw that utilized the 3D animation.
Yep.
Which was already kind of mind-blowing. And the concept of your toys coming to life when you leave the room was something that I spent way too much time thinking about, like the possibilities around it. And I also just think, as far as like any type of movie idea goes, this is one of the most fucking brilliant concepts I've ever heard.
So it came up on Cycli's number 56 already on Cycli's top 100 list. Yeah, dude, this movie is awesome. I love this movie. Again, like you said, the idea, like, what kid hasn't done this? And every kid has done this from the beginning of time.
Right.
I mean, even from when little cave kids were playing with rocks, they were doing this.
Also, I quoted him in the beginning. Sid is incredible. He's so fucking ridiculously funny.
He's a soul skater, man.
He is. Absolutely, he is a soul skater. The voice cast is obviously incredible. And, you know, I know the sequels, even the worst one, you know, people still like. And they hit different emotional, or they pull different emotional threads. This movie, to me, just walks that perfect balance of, like, there's enough of a story there behind, like, friendship and feeling like you belong and finding your place and like, coming to that realization that, you know, maybe the world isn't what you think it is, but that's still okay. You still have a place in it. With also just being, like, incredibly creative and funny. Like, the way that they utilize IP, like, a Mr. Potato Head and an Etch-A-Sketch and... what's the fucking, like...
Barrel of Monkeys.
Barrel of Monkeys is great in this. The army soldiers.
The army men.
Yeah, it's all just so well done. And I think this one's actually on, I think, the AFI Top 100 movie list as well. So we do occasionally have some crossover with what people view as, like, legitimate, like, top-tier cinema and what appears on our list.
I would say 80% of what's on our list is on... a top 100 list somewhere, like whether it's for visual effects or for unique story or something like that. I bet 80% of these movies are on one of those lists. Now there are some, like I said, that don't belong on any top 100 list.
Right, and I take more pride in those. I probably would say.
I think so far I've taken the crown for the most what the fucks.
Well, that is kind of your reputation. Like, you have to uphold that.
I do. That's
the true. Pod would be boring as hell if we all had the same movie taste.
It would. I'm kind of surprised that Toy Story has only come up twice so far on the list so far. I don't know if we'll see it again.
I don't either. Cause
it'd be an interesting one.
That's part of hitting the top 40 is you're kind of in we're not fucking around territory anymore. So, I mean, I'm sure everyone on the pod likes Toy Story, but... it's not, we're not really at that point anymore where it's safe to say, I think this movie will appear in someone else's list. Cause like you said, this is like whip your dick out and show me what you got level of the list.
We're getting down there.
It's getting
serious. Like, I'm looking at my list now and.
Yeah, man.
there's some heavy hitters on here and there's some that. Even reviewing now, I'm like, does this deserve to be this high?
Yeah, I have a couple Disney movies left. That's all I'll say. A couple of Disney movies left. Also, I recently had a list very high up on my list, maybe single digits. And I don't think I mentioned on pod, but I rewatched it recently and it dropped quite a bit.
Wow. So yeah, is it so... But did it drop so much to where we've already aired stuff?
It did not drop that far, yeah.
Okay, so it still has that wiggle room in it.
Yeah, like it's still yet to be mentioned, but I think it was like in my top 7 or 8, and now I'm looking at it and it's at 25 on my list.
Ooh, that's a big drop.
Yeah. I did always say that I'm not going to move a movie up or down that I've already seen unless I rewatch it. And that's one that if I rewatched it again tomorrow, it might drop even further. So I'm gonna keep it. Yeah.
I'm very interested. I'm very interested to see which one this is.
It's coming up soon. I'm excited to talk about it.
There it is.
All right, Brian. Before we let the people go for episode 222, any closing words of wisdom or advice?
Yeah, I mean, just the normal comments, guys. It's pulled over for emergency vehicles. I came across something that, you know, I don't condone. It's not necessarily the wrong thing, but I don't agree with it. Riding like an ambulance's ass right behind them. Like, I get everybody parts the way and you're not impeding them, but like there's no reason to be up on their ass. Okay.
It's just it's shitty that you're using someone else's emergency to your advantage.
Yeah. So let's not do that, guys. Especially this thing was like a fucking dune buggy looking thing. If that's you, don't ever do that again.
Yeah, don't, like, you mean as in like don't even drive that on the street?
Yeah, well, yeah, that too, because you just look like an idiot. But definitely don't tailgate an ambulance.
Yeah, you're not cool, bro.
No.
No one's
impressed.
I don't
know if that's against the law, but it should be.
It is now.
It is now.
It is now.
What you got?
Just my usual advice, if you're going to get your hair cut in the next week, let's not do anything crazy. Let's not take any chances.
I was thinking about putting like some green streaks in mine. Should I do that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, you could pull that off for sure. Plus, I just think it'll promote recycling. People will see green and they'll be like, oh shit, I need to separate my plastics.
See?
So there's a good message there. We're just
like giving back to the universe in this pod today.
Yeah. If you're an adult and have like a real job though, let's not get anything that looks like a K-pop star. Those posters in the barbershop are not for you, where it has the different hairstyles. Those are for 14-year-olds who can experiment without real.
That's what being 14 is for.
Exactly. So don't point to number 7 where the kid has the Nike swoosh in the side of his head and you're a CPA and you're like, you know what? Fuck it. I want that. Or do.
Well, and I mean, that might be cool.
Actually, that would be pretty sick if you went into your CPA to get your taxes done and you had the fucking Nike swoosh shaved in the side of his.
My taxes are getting done fucking awesome this year.
Yeah. You know what I think about my taxes? Just do it.
Doing it.
Yeah, because that's the Nike slogan. Very good. All right, for the Mad Scientist, Brian Banner. I'm the Mayor, Jeff Hornacek. We are the Bro for Scott podcast. Thank you guys so much for checking us out. Follow us on Twitter, Threads, Instagram, @Bro4Squad. We are on Letterboxd, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube, iHeartRadio, anywhere you find a podcast, if you type in Bro Force Squad as 3 separate words, and everything we have ever done, our top 100 list, the awful comic movie Madness Tournament, our squad blog, and links to all of our socials can be found on our website at broforcequad.com. Till next time, we will see you in the dunes, but we will not be tailgating the ambulance to get there.
No, but also if you see an ambulance in the dunes, you should check on that, because that probably shouldn't be there.
Yeah, who ambulances the ambulance? Especially in the dunes.
I don't know.